You know, you were created to reflect the glory of God. Adam and Eve were perfect in every form, every fashion, created by God to reflect Him, to give witness to Him in their words and in their behavior. And yet we know that they sinned. Created in the image of God, every one of you. But because of that sin, the Bible says it entered through one man, it had entered to everyone. And at some point, every one of us, we grow up to a certain place in our lives and we realize that there's something missing. Theologians have called it the God-shaped hole, the God-shaped void that only God can fill. But there's so many people in this world that don't know this message. They don't hear this message. Even in a place like America where there's Bibles everywhere, like there's podcasts everywhere, there's Christian music and Christian stations everywhere. You don't have to go far to hear the name Jesus. In Erath County alone, there's about 25 Baptist churches, let alone others. We're saturated. And yet still, people do not know because they run all their lives trying to shove something in the God-shaped hole that never fits, that never satisfies, that never brings peace, that never brings life. Never. Those of you in this place that have had addictions to alcohol and to drugs, has that ever satisfied you? No, it's just brought devastation. Or some addiction to some sexual sin. Did that ever fill you up? No, it didn't. It left you lacking. It left you wanting. Matter of fact, it would bring devastation to your family, to your spouse, to your children. Children's children. And yet we keep at it. We keep going after the things. Has money ever satisfied you? Have you ever had enough? No, you don't. Have you ever had enough when you got the promotion that something else that came along that you thought was going to be great, but 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, it's not all that it adds up to be. It's because even in the church, people who know better will run after stuff that'll never, ever satisfy. And yet you've heard the message, you've heard the word that Jesus Christ came. He came to fulfill and to fill up that which was lacking. He came to restore. He came to reconcile. He came to move in your life like never before. And you'll hear it, and you may hear it today. But maybe the heart is so hard that it's like the sower who sows the seed, and some gets on the hard ground and the birds of the air come pluck it up, and you walk from this place and you forget it. You forget it. You were created in the image of God to reflect the glory of God, but you are fallen. You're fallen. And no matter how good you think you are compared to others, you're not good. None of us are. Scripture says it. No. None are good. Not one, he says. Because if you're good, you don't need a Savior. If you're good, Jesus died in vain. He died to take away your sin. He died to come into your life to fill the hole that you're always looking for. And folks, this is why we meet. This is why we worship. And if you get it, if you just get it one time and move through it, you'll understand. And that way you will do what our sister just sang. Lord, I want to seek you so I'll know you, so I will love you. I got to ask you, church, are you seeking him? Seeking to know him, because we have the message. We have the word. It's why we speak of it in our nursery, our house, in our square, with our youth, with our adults. It's why we speak it. And folks, we do this not just like a solo Christian or someone soloing. We do this together.
we do it together. We get to this place in our lives, folks, where we know something's missing and we're searching. And you may be here searching. And you may have grown up in church, heard it all your life, but you're still searching. I'm here to tell you that Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago as a sacrifice in your place. He took your sin on his body. He took your griefs and your sorrow on his body. He shed his blood for you as the perfect sacrifice. Gwen this morning spoke of just this aroma that we're to be in this life. We find it in Jesus. And that's it. There's no other way. He's the only way. There's no other name by which men may be saved, women be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ. And the question is, are we pursuing that? Are we living it? Are we walking in it? Now, it's interesting. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 20. Yeah, thank you. John chapter 20. Now, let me give you just a context here, just real brief, because it's really important, is that Jesus has died. And his disciples are devastated. Been following him for 3 years. They were so expectant that somehow he was Messiah that would come and take Rome away from them. Okay. And he'd been talking to them that that's not why he came. He came to take the enemy out of you. He came to take sin away from you. He came to take the power of sin away from you. And so they are really scared right now. I mean, they just saw the leader, their leader, for 3 years crucified, beaten, persecuted, and now they're scared that the same lot's going to fall to them, and they're tucked away into this upper room. And in verse 19, it says, it was evening on that day, the first day of the week. That's the resurrection day, Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood in their midst. And notice what he says to them. Peace be with you. Quit walking in fear, anxiety, stress. Peace be to you. This peace that Jesus promised in John 16, John 14, this peace that God comes to give us. Peace be to you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. I tell you, when you know Jesus, when Jesus, you hear the gospel, he promises you peace. Now the word peace means to be tranquil, to be at ease, to be secure, safe, protected, happy, pleased, and prospering. It's an absence of chaos. But there's a really significant meaning of this word. It means to be set at one again. In other words, in the garden that we just spoke of, Adam and Eve were one with Jesus. They were one with him. And because of the sin, they were separated from him. And sin entered into their lives, and they were corrupt. Sinners, sinful. But yet God had a plan. And the plan, you can read it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when he tells the enemy that he's going to send the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is going to come, is going to crush him on the head, and that he would bruise, the seed would crush the enemy, and the enemy would bruise his heel. In other words, it was the first prophetic word that the Messiah would come and deal with their sin. And I want to tell you this. This is really important. I know I don't have time. Adam and Eve were perfect, and the only people in the world that have ever lived that knew what it was like to be perfect and to lose it. And when they hear this word that the Messiah was going to come, that the seed was going to come and crush the head of the enemy and take away all this junk and take away all this sin, that when she has Cain, she thinks it's the Lord. She says, I've gotten a man child. It's Yahweh. So desperate. And I think what happens is we see people live through life so desperate for Messiah. But instead, we substitute all these other things for Messiah. And therefore, we don't have peace. We don't have peace in heart. We don't have peace in our marriage. We don't have peace with our children. Matter of fact, we're running after things that just continue to cause chaos in our lives. Don't you agree with me that sin causes chaos in your life? It does. And yet we have the remedy by the blood of Jesus, by which we walk in faith so that he can do this, set us at one again. The Bible calls it the ministry or the work of the reconciliation of God. You can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've been there talking about, we've been there this recently when we're talking about if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. And he says all these things are from God who did what? Reconciled us by his blood to God. You know, the only time I ever hear reconciliation is when I hear the word irreconcilable. It's what the judge lets you say when you want to get a divorce. Irreconcilable differences. Oh, okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. Our God is the reconciler. He took the hand of God and takes our hand and brings it together to make us at one again. He fills the God-shaped hole through faith, through the Spirit of the living God that comes into us when we believe the gospel, the good news, that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he did just for us. He did it just for me. And I cry out to him and I believe that. And faith is birthed within my heart to believe the promise of God that Jesus came to save sinners, of which all we are. It's the point of your messed up lives, our messed up lives. And maybe today you might be here today and you are thinking, well, what does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like. We saw a baptism, two baptisms today. Saw Maddie and we saw Landon. And I just want to get up here real quick because I said, this water did not save them today. This was just a profession of faith of what already happened when Maddie came to Christ a couple years ago. And the Bible says that when we come to Christ, what happens is that we die. Fritcher dies with Jesus, by the way. It's a mystery. I can't explain it. And I want to just get behind here because it just makes so much more sense to be back. And what that means is that when I believed, when Maddie believed, she died. Didn't mean she became perfect. And we were buried with him, and we were raised to walk in newness of life with him. Amen. No, the baptism happened. The real baptism happened when we believed. We're no longer the same, the scripture says. Never the same. Always seen life change in us. And when you see it, it's like when Jesus came up from the grave, he did something so important because he got rid of sin at the cross, and he makes a way to get rid of death at the resurrection. Buried with Christ, raised to walk in a newness of life with him. And I'm going to tell you, you might have gone through the waters, but it might have never happened in your heart. Jesus comes in and says, "My peace I give to you." And he says it again, "I give you my peace. Peace be unto you." Listen, this is the message of the gospel. It's a message of peace. It's a message of reconciliation. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19 and 20, that not only is this a work of reconciliation in our life, but he gives us a ministry of reconciliation and a word of reconciliation. In other words, I come out of the grave, I come to a church or to a gathering and I make my confession public where I'm saying to the world, I'm no longer what I was. So don't look for that person. I'm in Christ now. I'm in Jesus now. And I'm going to follow him and I'm going to walk in him and I'm going to move in him. And guess what? when we all got baptized into the Spirit of God, we got a ministry of reconciliation. So Jesus says, peace be to you. And he says it again, peace be to you. Now watch, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, Coach Parker. I send you, Johnny and Fritcher. I send you, Maddie, Landon, Wayne. Not even in our church, and I'm calling your name out. Sorry. I'll stop. Call me. Yeah. He's given it to you and to me. This ministry of reconciliation. In a minute, you're going to hear from our guest. And if you missed the first hour, so I know I'm going to have to talk about it. Because our guest is going to tell you that the way this person, the way she, our guest, the way that they do reconciliation is through relationships. Amen. Yeah. To love people to the place of salvation. It's what Jesus did for you and me. And I want to ask the question, because the question is, have you been reconciled with him and you have peace with God? And second, are you declaring the reconciliation power of God in your relationships? Because he's given us this great peace and he's given us this great purpose to glorify him, to live for him, so that we can be reconcilers. Listen to me, every last one of us. It's not just for the hired holy men. Not just for the pastor, the preacher. It's not just for the elder. It's for every one of us to know what God's done in my life and to be able to proclaim it and to be able to share it and be able to give it to other people. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. You're separated from it. And maybe that's why you're in a mess. Well, actually, if you're in a mess, that's why you're in a mess. And you might have him, but you've gone far, walked far away from him. And let me just tell you this, that this great God not only said to them, peace be with you. I know you're scared to death. I know that you just saw me crucified, but I'm alive. So peace be with you. Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I'm going to send you with this same reconciliation message. Hey, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you've been a part of the reconciliation in a man or woman or boy or girl's life to God? When's the last time that's happened? Think about that. I have a word of reconciliation. You have a word of reconciliation. I have a ministry of reconciliation. You have a ministry of reconciliation. Our church corporately has it. It's why we go to the ends of the earth. It's why we do that. Why? Well, that's the third point. We have the promise of peace. We have the promise of purpose. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then the third is receive the Holy Spirit. We have the promise of power. And Scripture's really, 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 really clear about this, because this whole thought of the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. If he was saying it today, he would say, for those of you that are from Erath County or Hamilton County or... gosh, we could go on and on. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You should be my witnesses in Dublin, Texas. And then in the Cross Timbers area. And then in all of Texas. And to the uttermost parts of the world. To the ends of the earth. At home. And every place in between. I send you in the power of the Spirit. You say, I can't do it. You're right, you can't do it. That's why he sends you the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, listen, you'll become my witnesses. What's a witness? Literally, it's martus. We get our word martyr from it. Paul even said it before he was martyred. I die daily.
I die daily to my sin. I die daily to my flesh. I die daily to my dreams and my visions. And I let God birth within me something that is so much better than I could ever dream. I live to him. And I use the gifts of my life and the talents of my life as a platform to be a reconciler for God. You can be a coach, and you can be a dentist, and you can be a welder, right? And you can be a mailman. And you can be a teacher. You can be all those things to establish relationship so that you can be a part of the reconciliation power of God. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And folks, if you got Jesus, that's what you got. You got the power of the Holy Spirit. And the question is will you believe that today? Will you believe that I can be a part of this salvation work of God? Can I be a part of it?